The Green Front with Betsy Rosenberg, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
On days like today, I think, my golly, my gosh, I think we are turning it around. Lots of things on today's show. Thanks for joining me on the Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, and executive producer of this show. I've been reporting on the Green Beat for some 15 years, and just when you think the news should be getting better about now, well, there's all kinds of things that are assaulting our environment, and that's in the political arena, the physical arena. The media is also very distorted. So on these days when I really get kind of discouraged, I turn on my computer, look at my inbox, and see, inspiration anew. And I'm very thrilled to have someone who is part of a march that is taking place right now as we speak. As you know, if you've been covering, watching me cover the Green Beat, I love covering the breaking news stories, the things that are unfolding as we speak. And I've got some very exciting news on that front. In addition to the march underway to get GMO labeled in our food products, which is, you would think, a no-brainer. That's very exciting. We're going to have Dr. David Bronner joining me in just a moment from that march. They're on their way to the White House from Brooklyn, New York. And then in the second half, some great news just signed by Governor Jerry Brown in California, a ban on BPA. That's that really bad stuff they put in plastic bottles, including the bottle my daughter drank out of. And of course, I was Green Mom back then, but had no idea that I was giving her a little bit of poison along with her milk. So that's the story I have a lot of passion about, and I'm sure every mother in the audience does as well. And that's good news. And then last but not least, we're going to be talking about the Slow Money Conference coming to San Francisco next week with the founder, Woody Tash. So a full show, but first, got to begin with the most exciting news of all, and that is friend and my shiro, Roz Savage, if you have not been following her blog, has done it. She has just become the first woman ever to row across three oceans, solo rowing, to raise awareness about climate change, about plastics, pollution in our oceans. Just yesterday, she finally reached the Mauritius Islands. She left Australia 5 months ago with no tracking boats, and she doesn't fish along the way. She's a vegetarian, and she lives on sprouts and Luna bars, and some people think she's a lunatic for having taken this on, but she is absolutely sane. She is a fabulous writer as well as an incredible world-class rower, and she has just achieved her goal, third and last ocean she just crossed. So we hope to have Roz on perhaps next week's show, but now I'm thrilled to have Dr. David Bronner with us. You, of course, have seen Dr. Bronner's soaps. They've been one of the leaders in the organic natural product space for a long time, and their magic soap is fair trade, organic, and all that good green stuff. Dr. Bronner is joining us as part of this march underway. There's a dual effort going on, the Right to Know and the Label It Now march, all about getting GMO information out there on the products so you can see what you're buying and what you're eating. Great idea, great effort. Thanks for joining me, Dr. Bronner. Nice to meet you.
Thank you for having me. And just to clarify, my granddad was Dr. Bronner.
I'm sorry. That would be pretty old. You've been around a long time. Part of the same family, I should say. Thank you. I'm just so excited about Roz Savage doing this amazing feat. I'm all over the place here.
Yeah.
But thanks for joining us. And a younger Dr. Bronner, tell us what brought you to take part in this effort that is about, halfway underway to the White House now?
About 20%.
Are you in Pennsylvania? Pennsylvania?
Yeah, we just crossed the Delaware. So, we're in Pennsylvania. GMOs are just kind of a disaster, or are a disaster. It's the kind of most extreme example, of the out of control chemical conventional agriculture in this country. We use all certified organic oils in our soaps. We really firmly believe that we need to transition our agricultural policy and farming to a sustainable organic basis and get off these chemicals, which are killing the soil, and it's a chemical treadmill as the pests and weeds develop resistance, and we're dumping ever more chemicals, which are petroleum-derived and toxic. And these GMOs, which a lot of people don't understand, is the that basically the pesticide industry in this country bought the seed industry and is engineering and bringing in DNA from bacteria, viruses, and other species into crops to do one of two things, either to express insecticide in every cell of the plant or to enable application of even higher doses of weed killer. And it's just, you know, it's just like out of control. And it's clear, you know, unlike Europe and 50 other nations, Americans do not have the right to know. We don't know if we're eating genetically engineered food. And if we don't get this right, pretty soon every single plant, every single animal with any significant market size is going to be genetically engineered, and we're not going to have the right to know.
And how far into this are we? It seems that it's going on pretty rapidly. And I would say the average American's not too aware. I just started holding green tea parties, and I was kind of surprised that a woman here in Marin County had never heard of GMO. And, you know, we in this environmental community are kind of in a bubble, unfortunately. And it seems that people who you think would be concerned, average Americans, are not too aware. So why is really just raising the volume and getting awareness out there, you know, the first step is really getting more people to fight this very you know, basic need to, A, know what's in our food, to perhaps stop GMO, if that's even possible at this point, and mostly just to demand that at least we have this food labeled so we know what we're buying and eating.
Exactly. I mean, we have the right to opt out of this experiment. Basically, there's a massive experiment being conducted on the American people of, you know, well, let's see what happens when we're eating low doses of these compounds in our food over 10, 20 years. And you know, and unfortunately, a lot of, you know, people, you know, they are underinformed. The industry is basically, it's a classic example of regulatory capture. The biotech industry has bought off politicians and has handpicked regulators who give them a free pass, you know, and don't conduct any safety reviews before they grant market access for these novel foods. So the first step is raising awareness. And you know, we talk to people, as soon as you explain it, people are like, what? You know, what's in my food? And, you know, so we feel like, you know, there's definitely, you know, every country in Europe and Japan, even China, you know, they have labeling. And so we know, obviously, it's possible to demand labeling and to achieve labeling. And once you have labeling, generally consumers will reject the genetic engineering. You know, generally people don't want to eat a salmon that's been crossed with an eel. And so, you know, of course, the biotech industry knows that. So, you know, there's a lot of forces that are kind of aligned to keep us in the dark, and we need to, you know, break through that.
Yes, and on that front, and of course, it's like climate change as well, the grand experiment, and we're messing with Mother Nature in a way that, you know, nobody knows where we're going. It's uncharted territories, and there could be some really, you know, dark consequences, both of spewing greenhouse gases and mixing up, you know, genetic modified organisms in our food supply. And yet it's tough to go up against, just like, you know, with the climate fight, the Koch brother industry fueling the disinformation campaign. You've got Monsanto on the other side. And Dow, are they the two biggest players that are involved in GMO production?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're aligned. And there's a real good analogy to climate change that, you know, basically it's hard to, you know, draw any, you know, direct causal link for any, you know, given instance of crazy weather. You know, any particular weather is, you know, it's hard to establish that link. But, you know, we know for certain that, well, you know, with climate change, we're putting a whole lot more energy into the atmosphere. And, of course, we're going to have more extreme weather events. And, you know, we can all see that in mm-hmm. that the weather's starting to get crazy.
Texas sees no connection. The current crop of Republican presidential candidates seem to have blinders on, but we talk about that a lot on the show. We don't have to dwell on that, but it is kind of similar in that, you know, we feel kind of powerless, those who do know about it. So you've taken to the streets. Why do you think it will take that to get national attention this issue deserves?
Well, just real quick, I mean, the analogy with the GMO is like food allergies. Like, you know, it's like kind of like the crazy weather. Like, we know food allergies are going through the roof in the last 10, 20 years. So there's something wrong with our food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you know, and you know, coincidentally, that parallels the rise of GMOs in the food. And, you know, I mean, there's plenty of other bad things in the American diet, for sure. But,
you think you know, two-thirds of the country is overweight?
Yeah, you know, exactly. And it's, you know, this, you know, ridiculous corn policy, this agriculture policy, this is a disaster. And yeah, but I'm sorry, and to the question of, you know, taking to the streets, you know, this is, you know, unfortunately, Obama's USDA is owned by biotech just as much as every other administration. And USDA earlier this year deregulated Roundup Ready alfalfa, and which means that it's been engineered to resist the Monsanto's weed killer Roundup, and which is ridiculous because only 7% of alfalfa is sprayed with herbicide in the first place. So you know, and it's just in you know, we figured in the organic industry that you know with Obama, you know, we do have allies in the administration in the USDA, but. That, you know, they, you know, instead of like at least demanding that in the issuing regulation that there had to be buffer zones between the genetically engineered alfalfa and non-genetically engineered, or you know, just you know, having different flowering times, different planting, none of that happened. It was just a blank check to to biotech, and just, so we realized we have no inside game. So we need to bring the pressure from the outside, and so that's what this march is about. Is about you know, just rising up. Showing the politicians that there are consequences, and you know there's a massive effort underway called JustLabelIt.org. It just launched yesterday. There's a petition into FDA, basically asking or demanding that FDA do its job and stop rubber stamping biotech. And if you go to JustLabelIt.org, you can click a comment into FDA in support of that petition. And our goal is to get over 1 million comments into FDA and just really bring the pressure, you know, and just so that these guys realize that there, you know, there's real consequences, if they just continue to give biotech such a free pass.
And just like there, you know, has been a lot of controversy about labeling organic food and what's certified and some produce is, you know, in the process of going organic and that's been something that's become increasingly important, especially as more consumers are aware of, you know, the consequences of consuming pesticides. This is a similar issue, isn't it? It's important just to know about the process, but regardless of what you think about GMOs, it seems that the right to know what's in it, you know, demanding that it be labeled as such, should not be, you know, too outrageous a request.
Yeah, exactly, and thanks for reminding me. I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, we can definitely, you know, spend all day talking about how GMOs are bad, but ultimately you're right. This is just a matter of basic right to know freedom. I mean, okay, so people think GMOs are the bee's knees. Okay, well, let's label it so you can know what's genetically engineered and you can go buy that. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's just such a fundamental right for us to know what's in our food, you know, regardless of what people think about GMOs.
So it seems a very reasonable, you know, demand, and yet it's not going to be an easy fight, is it?
No, I mean, because by and large, I mean, biotech, they understand as soon as there is labeling, consumers are going to largely reject genetic engineering. So, you know, so it is going to be a huge fight. You know, where there's informed consumer choice, generally people choose the non-GMO, and so it definitely is going to be a major, major fight.
How many do you have marching with you? You have some pretty big names that will be speaking. Will that be when you arrive in Washington at the White House?
Yeah, exactly. So, and there's a big event planned in Philadelphia, various smaller events along the way. Pretty much every day we're hitting natural food stores and setting up stages, and we've got really cool vehicles and support. There's a permaculture truck that's like a greenhouse that's just demonstrating the power of permaculture. You know, it's really cool and interactive. There's kind of a carnival. It's called the Sustainable Living Roadshow that sets up. So we've got, I would say, our core crew of people is about 50 marchers, and then that swells up to, you know, a few hundred on our bigger events, and hopefully in D.C., you know, we want to get at least 1,000 out, you know, protesting in front of the White House. And that will have, you know, some major headliners coming for that, including Michael Hansen from the Consumers Union, who's a senior scientist, and Andy Kimbrell, founder and head of Center for Food Safety. And then, yeah, very, you know, the CEO of Organic Valley, CEO of Unify, and various other heavy hitters in the industry and in the food safety movement.
Now, GMO proponents, the industry, says that this is what we need to get crop yields up in an ever-growing population, an ever-hungrier world, and that this is going to fight pest infestations. So what do you say to that, that we need to have these GMO factories in there to really multiply the crop yields and to fight insects, et cetera?
Well, you know, they've been saying that for 20 years, and you know the evidence is in, and the yields are not any better. It's not any better. The food is not any cheaper. It's not any more nutritious. This is not giving any benefit to consumers at all. Basically, that's marketing spin from biotech. When it comes to like, oh, we're using less pesticides. In fact, they're using a lot more. I think there are 300 million more pounds of herbicide now being dumped on American crops thanks to GMOs. And the other big problem with this and this whole chemical model is rather than adopting integrated pest management methods where you do the minimum and you're smart about how you address your pest issues, they're basically doing an extreme overdose by expressing pesticide in every single plant. So every single plant, you're introducing this massive selection pressure on pests, and they're rapidly evolving resistance to the pesticide, necessitating even more and higher doses of pesticide. Same thing with the herbicide. The Roundup Ready is now, we're now seeing the spread of super weeds and super bugs that are resistant to these, to Roundup. So now they're actually engineering in resistance to even more toxic herbicides, including 2,4, I forget which compound, but it's a compound that's actually an Agent Orange. You can just see that this is a totally unsustainable model. They engineer resistance into the herbicide, and it takes, 10, 20 years, and then the super weeds develop. So then they engineer resistance to their next chemical. And that's, that game, they get a few billion out of it, then they create super weeds there that spread all over the place. And, it's a completely unsustainable model. It's basically chemical companies selling more chemicals, and, that's basically what GMOs are about.
David, we just have a couple more minutes. Is it corn and soy that are the most commonly genetically engineered foods?
Yes. Corn and soy, I think it's a very disturbing. I think 80% of corn and soy at this point are genetic engineered. Now, generally, it's the feed corn. It's the fuel corn that's fed to animals, and then that gets processed in the various ingredients. But sweet corn is about to be introduced this fall. That's engineered to contain the BT insecticide as well as resist Roundup, and that'll be in stores, and you won't know if you're eating it unless you're buying organic corn. The GE salmon's coming. They cross that with an eel.
I read that.
So
that's bizarre.
Yeah. Well, and that's and that's where we realize we have such broad-based support. I mean, this is not a left liberal issue. This is just a basic fundamental right. And hard dyed-in-the-wool Tea Party Republicans, when it comes to their meat, they're like, I have a right to know if my meat's been genetically engineered. I have a right to know that my salmon's a real salmon and not some weird eel fish thing.
Well, it's interesting because the most conservative Republicans hate government interference, and this is, if ever there was an example of Big Brother interfering with our food and not wanting to tell us what they're doing, this is it.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, we feel like we can really build this coalition. The wild-caught salmon industry is clearly, threatened by the GE salmon, so that's, definitely a natural ally for us. And, pretty much I think a lot of people are starting to wake up, and there is this kind of awakening happening around GMOs, and that an awareness that if we don't do something within the next 5 to 10 years, everything's going to be genetically engineered, and we're not going to know what's genetically engineered and what's not.
Well, thank you so much, David Bronner. We'll be following your rally in March and all the speakers in Washington. We wish you the best of luck, and Green Front will do its part to get word out on this very important fight. And when we come back in just a couple minutes, a victory on the fight to get BPA out of bottles. That toxin is getting into the little bodies of infants and toddlers and grown-ups, too, eating anything that has BPA in the cans, soup and very common things like tuna. So that's some good news. We're going to find out from the Environmental Working Group how they won that battle, how we all won that battle. And when we come back after that, we'll be talking with Woody Tash about something similar, and that's the Flow Money Conference coming up in San Francisco next week, and that also has roots in food. So that's the theme today, and we'll be back right after this. Thanks, David.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, right after this message. See you in just a minute.
Bye.